Yeah, and they had to truck in the snow.
Yeah, one in Montreal.
Yeah, not that yeah, one, yeah. though. That was way too long a time ago. Oh, gosh, it's 7 o'clock, Doug. You're listening to CFRC 101.9. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Great. Are you going to play the song?
You said that just with so much confidence.
Was it clear confidence? Let's go. We got to play the song.
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to say to you that, yes, you were right. That's the album.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah. Okay. Contact from the underworld, right?
Yeah, from the underworld of Red Boy. We'll be right back.
Your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
Yeah.
When traffic's a nightmare. When the workplace is hectic. When your boss calls you in for a meeting. When nature isn't on your side. There's only one thing you can do.
But no need to wake up the neighbors. Tune in every Monday night from 11 p.m. to midnight for Shed Progressions, where we play an hour of cool jazz to help you relax after a long day. Again, that's Shed Progressions every Monday night at 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Where we're not afraid to get a little funky.
Some disabilities are invisible, and it may sound strange that someone with a hearing problem volunteers on air at a community radio station. Over time, the ravages of tinnitus and Meniere's disease not only impacted my hearing, but left lots of humming and buzzing inside my head. I like communicating with our community. The station and I work together to make sure that I can take best advantage of the hearing I've got with proper equipment and a good studio environment. From the front door to the heart of the station, our volunteers have full access. Accessibility. It's yet another way that community radio brings out the best in us. Hashtag Accessible Radio.
Well, there you go. This is Accessible Radio, Sean, CFRC 101.9 FM. And this is Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC.
I always thought it was accessible.
It is. It has been for us. We've been lucky. All those young people that come. All those young people.
I'm not sure if luck is the right word.
It's great. Look at all the people we met over the years.
That's the part that's really good.
If anybody wants to be part of CFRC Radio and learn how to, you know, like we learned a little bit tonight about the disc jockeying with a DJing, to do a DJ with the new equipment,
Oh, yeah, over here with the...
I just got a glimpse. I didn't spend a lot of time with it because...
Like the mixing.
Yeah, yeah. It was so cool watching them. Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, but there, we got some young people teaching us.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what you call it? Is the DJing?
They call it DJ.
Hmm. Like what's his face?
DJ Shub.
Shub.
Yeah. Well, he won an international event where you go in as DJs and how do you put mixed music in while it's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So you mix one over another. That number of years ago. Anyway, I just wanted to go back to what we started the first hour here at Aboriginal Voices, was the book that I was able to pick up at the library. And you asked me a couple of questions about when did I take it out and all that sort of thing. I had another question that came up was when did she actually publish this book? And it was 2011.
The
book was published. That's what I
said. That was a long time ago.
Right. But she had a lot of support from Canadian Heritage. You talked about the Heritage Minute earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Canadian Heritage, the Manitoba Arts Council, the Canada Council for the Arts. Yeah. And the province of Manitoba. And interesting, because she dedicates her book for my next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So,
you know what's really interesting? Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
I just read this, and it's just, Leanne Simpson, and this book is stories of Anishinaabeg recreation, resurgence, and a new emergence. She was born in 1971. Look at the coincidence tonight. This book is really scaring me. Okay. So many things. The whole thing with Robbie Robertson links right into what she talks about in her book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And there's another connection to friends and family here in the community.
So is it a page turner?
I had to turn every page, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but at first I was thinking...
Oh, is that your date due slip there?
Yeah, when it's due back in. I mentioned to you it's due back on the 3rd of September, which is 1 week and 1 day from tonight.
Yeah, I guess you did mention that, but what I mean is...
No.
I didn't know that...
No.
Because I thought...
Don't go there.
You know, back in the day, they had the date due slip.
Yes.
And it was fixed into the back of the book.
That's right. But
it was stamped.
Was stamped.
Anyways,
we're going to talk just a little bit about this because
we're
going
to continue to talk
just a little bit. Yeah, just for you.
Is she listening?
That would be nice if Leanne Simpson was listening,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, because the more I read this book, the more I would like to sit down with her and to have a conversation, probably outdoors.
Just a chat.
Yeah, no, just a chat. Yeah, that kind of, that's what I mean. Like
nothing hard hitting.
Not
like the 60 Minutes or anything like
that. No. Just more along the lines of, you know, the storytelling, because there are stories in here, and I keep saying, why didn't you tell the story? But, you know, on the other hand, they probably don't. Which reminds me, art, the paintings over at the Stouffer Library. That's on. That's just a display that they have over at the library. Everybody coming into campus.
Wait a minute, is it the paintings?
The paintings, yes.
That's at. I thought it was at Agnes Etherington.
No. It's at the Stouffer Library.
It's at the Stouffer Library.
Yeah, yeah.
But it reads that it's at the Agnes Etherington.
No, it says Stouffer Library right in the article.
Well, why couldn't they be in Agnes Etherington?
Because Agnes was closed right now.
Closed?
They're renovating around there. Didn't you see the great big tall crane sitting right over top of Agnes' building?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you walked over there today.
Oh, I didn't walk over there.
Oh, no. You walked past? Well, you walked across the field, right? The sports field. Just round it.
Anyways.
Yeah. That's
I don't, I did see it, but no, I don't know.
The artwork's over at the library, the big library.
So it's still with Agnes Etherington, just
it
there.
Is,
how's
yeah.
that?
It was curated by...
Agnes herself.
No, a fella named DeLine. He's a curator right now over at the Agnes. They're housed
Walk
now
DeLine?
In the Kingston Hall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just over from where we're sitting right now. Anyway, so you and I could go and stand and look at the pictures and the paintings, and we can...
So how long is the Agnes Etherington...
I don't know, another year maybe?
So it's like right in the Agnes, or just there in the foyer?
Walk in the foyer, and there it is, the display.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
What I would like to do, especially after, not next week, but the week after, maybe go with our recorder and stop people who are coming in and out of the library.
Yeah.
And ask them about their reaction to the paintings.
That sounds like a thing.
It's like the day we went into the law building, you know, where the law library is, and they had the wampum belts display up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember.
We actually stopped and talked to a couple
people. And nobody
people
even noticed it.
Well.
Like a lot of those people are like, what? Where?
Where? And then.
Yeah.
And then do the giant, the friendly giant term. Look up.
Look way up.
Part of your television days.
Oh my gosh. You know, and what was nice is we were in Toronto. We went to that CBC.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst there, they got like a little CBC through the years.
Mm-hmm.
History museum thing. And there it was. There was the castle. It was right there.
Wow.
And maybe like the cats.
Right, sitting in front?
No.
And a rooster?
No, they weren't there.
No?
Oh, no, okay. None of those people were there. Like just their drums and stuff.
Oh.
Their instruments.
Yeah. Okay.
That bag.
Mm-hmm.
The bag where the rooster was in. That was
you
there.
You were
but,
in your
but,
element, weren't
but
you?
But the rooster gone. Jerome?
Uh-huh.
Jerome and Rusty,
They
was in Florida.
Oh.
Just like on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Says it right there.
Oh, okay.
Also, Mr. Dress-Up was there.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I seen the tickle trunk.
Oh, my goodness. All right, back to Leanne's book, and then we got some music.
Then I had, like, Fifth Estate, and I'm like, what's that?
What, Jerome's book? Did Jerome do a travel book? No?
No, you remember the Fifth Estate.
I do, but I don't know how it fits into this conversation.
Well, it just wasn't as important as the Friendly Giant. Barbara Frum.
Oh, okay.
Barbara Frum was there, as it happens, or was it?
Well, she was on As It Happens,
yeah.
And a number of other reporting shows. Okay, let's go
Sorry.
To this. We need to do
Sorry,
this.
Sorry, Doug.
Otherwise, we're going to run out of
Sorry,
time for the
I
rest
went
of
off
the show.
Like a,
yeah,
oh, I think
good.
Even Lauren Green was there.
He was here.
Yeah, he was here
were you
and
here
there.
Then?
Oh, no. No, we got pictures, though.
Yeah.
Of him being here doing
workshops.
Radio.
Yeah, radio
like,
workshops.
Like, if you were to come, maybe, volunteer here,
mm-hmm.
you would be in the hallowed halls of a Lauren Green, you might.
Woo.
Yeah. Like, if you look closely in spots, maybe he's carved his name.
No, they changed all of the furniture since then.
Walls?
Mm-mm. Oh, I'll have to go look.
Oh, and the catacombs out there.
Oh. Yeah.
Just say that yes. That's all you need to say,
I'm
Doug.
I'm sitting here thinking, I wonder where I'd go and look.
There's lots of places in here.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
This is what's called enticing people to volunteer.
I see.
Throwing a bit of mystery out there.
We're going for it.
And people are like, who's Lauren Green?
Yeah. Okay. Quick thing. We're going back to the Ann Simpson's book.
Oh, goodness sakes.
Because I just want to share that she this is what the publishers wrote on her book. Simpson explores philosophies and pathways of regeneration, resurgence, and a new emergence through Anishinaabeg language. Creation stories, walks with elders and children, create celebrations and protests. Celebrations and protests. Well, I think she does more of the protest side. And she stresses the importance of illuminating indigenous intellectual traditions. How's that?
That's awesome.
Now, you have one little paragraph I want you to share, and then we'll go to some music.
Yeah, well, it says here, Leanne Simpson, and she says, in a simple way, I just make things that are meaningful to me and don't worry about what genre or what discipline. So she tries and makes things that say something or connect in a certain way. She tries to embody specific ideas and concepts and practices. This has meant that she thinks and makes alongside different artists and thinkers in different ways and in different sites of knowledge production. For her, they all come from a similar, deeply relational place.
But that's really important to understand that from her. Because that's the way she's talked in many sessions where I've been able to listen to her talk.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's a song that goes with it, Coyote Dance.
Thank you.
Kristen, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you.
Then it's really fun to do this art project with you. And it started with the Native Women's Association of Canada putting a call out to artists across the country. They had a stipulation, though. It was Indigenous women artists. Mm-hmm. But it was wide open because the artists could pick any hero that they wanted, as long as it was an Indigenous female hero. So we've had some already in our collection, and today you're going to tell me a little bit about another artist and her hero.
That's right. Today, the artist that we're featuring is Jennifer Verfaria. There we go. She's a Canadian painter and illustrator, and she began drawing as soon as she could hold a pencil. So she loved drawing her cat, her Barbies, and anything in between. So Jennifer's mother was highly skilled in calligraphy and trained her to print with excellence, which helped inspire her to pursue all areas of traditional artwork. And the hero that Jennifer decided to feature is actually one of her relatives. So most of the heroes that we've been talking about are sort of public figures, but in this case, the hero is Jennifer's great aunt, Glenna Simcoe. She's of the Chippewas of Rama First Nation. So according to Jennifer, Glenna was an upbeat, no-nonsense woman who exposed her to innumerable galleries, plays, museums, ballets, and more. And she passed on her love of art and culture, inspiring her to become an artist. So I suppose that's why she's her hero. She inspired her future and her career. And after Jennifer's mother passed away when she was 15, her Aunt Glenna sort of filled that role for her. So very special to the artist.
So not only having an aunt, it's a quote, parent in the family working with you. I love that. Now, it's interesting because the thought of having someone in your family guiding you, but not saying you have to do this, but taking her, I mean, the number of places you said, galleries, places where she could do her art, getting involved in items like that. That's something that you've been doing with kids in your community. So how do you find that as an adult now, thinking that you might be someone's, quote, hero, but it's because you're engaging them in lifelong learning? So how do you feel about that?
Well, that's a neat thought. I mean, I've always hoped to inspire others, but that's a pretty big honor to, you know, be someone's hero or to inspire something that they pursue as something lifelong. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be very glad to be in that position someday if it ever happens.
Well, I'm sure it's happening already. I've seen how you work with people, and your work here with us on Aboriginal Voices has been very much sharing your lifelong learning, but also ideas for others to try out. So, you know, maybe you are becoming a hero without knowing it, right? But that's why I think it's so important that Jennifer was able to take her skills and talents in art and bring it in to share a special person in her family, because everyone has special people in our families.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that would be incredible to have your family member featured on the national bill, right? And so, yeah, maybe not a public figure, but becomes a public figure through something like that being featured on a bill. So
the artwork, the style of art that Jennifer does, have you looked at that?
Yeah, there's a picture of Glenna right in the center, and it's very realistic. It almost looks like a photograph of her. So it's quite different from some of the other bills that have featured portraits. And she's surrounded by different types of colorful flowers, which, you know, it may have been some of her favorite flowers. Maybe her aunt adored these different flowers or colors. It doesn't really explain why those are there, but I think it features some of her trained calligraphy skills, the way that she's detailed her art. It's very precise. You know, sort of the edges around the glasses are very crisp and clean, so you can kind of see her style of art displayed.
And the colors are just fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
You even made me go and check out the colors. Yeah,
we need to make sure the printer was working so that the yellows and greens and everything show up. Is that the background of the bill is I would say a dull green, maybe a mossy green.
Mm.
A little bit of yellow in there, and so it really makes the portrait of Glenna stand out. She is front and center for sure.
Interesting, too, because from a distance, for me, looking at it, it looks like a spring green.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that looks good. And the flower colors are just accents in
That's
the
right.
picture.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to... And I don't know where you find any of Jennifer's work, but, you know, people could go online to check out to see if mm-hmm. Jennifer's work is available. And where you might actually go and see more of her artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, thank you. Your last thoughts on this?
Yeah, I guess it's just the fact that I was surprised that it wasn't a public figure featured, but I think that's very honoring. It's a nice submission, you know, to honor a family member like that, especially, like you said at the beginning, it was an Indigenous artist that needed to, you know, enter a submission. So that's what she did. She's an artist, and that was her submission of her relative. So that was a great choice.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, to the light in your eyes. I am watching you floating across the evening sky, and I smile, start dancing. Oh, then I fell from the stars.
Welcome back. You know how much we love diving deep into inspiring stories. And well, today we have a really special one for you.
Oh, it's a good one. This is all about Indigenous quill work in Canada.
And the amazing young artist who's making waves with it. We're talking about Sophia Bork, a Wolastoqiyik student from Prince Edward Island.
Her story really blew me away. Like you always say, it's incredible to see how traditional art forms can be so powerful.
And how one person, even someone so young, can make such a difference. I know a lot of you are interested in learning more about Indigenous cultures.
And this deep dive is going to be perfect for that. We'll learn about Sophia's art, her inspirations, and how she's sharing her culture with the world.
Okay, so let's set the scene. It all starts with something called the Heritage Fair Program. Pretty much a Canada-wide thing, right?
Yeah, it's huge. Thousands of students from all across Canada participate every year. Basically, they pick a topic related to Canadian history.
And they really go for it. They research, create projects, and present their findings. It's a big deal. So for Sophia, a young Wolastoqiyik student,
it was kind of a no-brainer for her to choose a topic. Indigenous culture was something she wanted to showcase, and she chose to do it through art.
And not just any art form. Quill work. Have you ever seen quill work up close? It's incredible. So intricate.
Oh, absolutely. Using porcupine quills to create these beautiful designs and patterns, it's been a vital part of Indigenous culture for centuries.
Centuries, wow. And it's more than just pretty designs, right? I mean, there's a deep cultural significance to it. But I have to admit,
Go on.
I don't really know much about the process itself. Like, how do they actually make quill work? What does that look like?
Okay, well, first off, it's a long and delicate process, and it all starts with harvesting the quills, of course. And this is where the respect for nature comes in.
Right, because you can't just, like, yank them out, right?
Exactly. Indigenous artists have a deep respect for the porcupine. They harvest the quills in a way that doesn't harm the animal. Then the real work begins.
Okay, so what happens next?
Cleaning and sorting the quills, it's pretty meticulous work. They have to be cleaned thoroughly, and then they're sorted by size and color.
Oh, I bet. And then they get dyed those vibrant colors you see in quill work.
You got it. They use natural dyes. Berries, roots, bark, things like that. It's fascinating, actually. Some artists even soften the quills by soaking them in their mouths.
Wait, what? in their mouths. Seriously.
Yeah. It's a traditional technique, helps make the quills more pliable. It just shows the level of dedication these artists have. And then finally, the quills are ready to be woven or sewn onto different materials.
Like birch bark or hides?
Yeah. Traditionally, nowadays, you also see quill work on cloth and other materials. And the designs, oh man, they can be incredibly detailed.
Geometric patterns, animals, flowers. It's amazing. But Sophia didn't just decide to pick up quill work out of the blue, right? She had some inspiration.
Absolutely. She was inspired by the work of another amazing artist, Melissa Peter Paul, a Mi'kmaq artist whose work has gained a lot of recognition.
I've seen some of her pieces. They're incredible. Bold colors, contemporary themes.
But still deeply rooted in Mi'kmaq traditions. It's no wonder Sophia was drawn to her work. She saw how Peter Paul was using quill work to share her culture with the world.
So Sophia took that inspiration and just ran with it. She did a ton of research, delved into the history of quill work, learned about contemporary practices.
Then for the Heritage Fair, she created her own quill work piece.
And it wasn't just a pretty piece. It really captured the hearts and minds of the judges. She didn't just showcase the technique. She really went deep.
Yeah, she talked about the symbolism behind the designs, the cultural significance. And she connected it back to that respect for the porcupine.
It was about honoring the animal and the natural world. And she totally nailed it. Sophia was recognized at the PEI Provincial Heritage Fair. But it didn't stop there.
Oh, no, it didn't. She went on to win one of four spots in the 2023 Young Citizens Program. It's a national program that recognizes young people who are making a difference.
That's a pretty big deal. It's about more than just a cool project. What exactly are the judges looking for in that program?
They want to see young people who are engaged in their communities, passionate about making a positive impact. They're looking for that spark, that understanding of Canadian heritage.
And Sophia definitely had that spark. One of my favorite things about her story is this quote. She said, "In Indigenous culture, we honor Mother Earth and her animals. The beautiful quill art could not be made without the tree giving its bark or the porcupine sharing its quills."
It's so true. It really highlights that interconnectedness, the respect for nature that's woven into Indigenous art.
And it's a reminder that these art forms aren't just about aesthetics. They're expressions of cultural values, beliefs, relationships with the natural world.
Exactly. And that's what makes Sophia's story so powerful. She gets it. She understands that these traditions are about more than just pretty objects. They're about keeping a culture alive.
And Sophia's impact didn't end there. She received the Catherine Hennessy Heritage Activism Award from the PEI Museum and Heritage Foundation. So heritage activism, it's about more than just, you know, preserving the past, right?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's about actively promoting and protecting heritage. It's about educating others, raising awareness, and inspiring a deeper understanding and appreciation for it.
And advocating for its importance in today's world. It's awesome to see someone so young like Sophia, just in grade six, embody that spirit.
It really is. She's even encouraging her friends and classmates to learn about and share their own heritage and culture. She's inspiring others to use their voices.
She said, "Receiving these awards has given me the courage to have a voice and to encourage other youth to use theirs." That's a powerful message. It goes beyond quill work. It's about recognizing the importance of culture, tradition, and sharing those stories.
It's about empowering young people to be proud of their heritage. And it's a reminder that we all have stories to tell, traditions to share.
Sophie's journey has really got me thinking about, well, all of our heritages. What are those traditional art forms, those cultural practices that maybe we've been taking for granted, or maybe even overlooking completely?
It's a great question to ask ourselves, because just like Sophia, we might rediscover something truly meaningful, something that connects us to our past, to our families, to our communities.
And who knows, we might even inspire others along the way. So there you have it, folks, the story of Sophia Bourque, a young artist who's making a real difference.
And a reminder that tradition and art have the power to inspire and connect us all.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
homebound.
Have you ever wondered how to use the word myriad? It's a borrowed word from classical languages, originally meaning a unit of 10,000, as in an army formation of 10,000. It's used often now to denote many things, including an infinite number of things, or simply a great number. The big question arises, should you put an article in it, such as a, as in there is a myriad of stars in the sky, versus there are myriad stars in the sky? And the answer is both are correct. It's simply a matter of stylistic preference. You should, however, be consistent. When you're confused by it, just remember there are maybe not myriad ways to use the word myriad, but there are at least a couple. You've been listening to A Grammarphone with Daniel Wolf on CFRC.
There's more love.
taking the high road out of town, taking my mind off, taking my mind off the fighting side, walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone, 'cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head, and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me?